echoes in my soul. I hear the music ring, and though the storms take up, I am holding on to the rock I cling. How can I keep from singing your praise? How can I ever say enough? How amazing is your love? How can I keep from shouting?
Great to see all of you. We have still got people that are enjoying spring break and the nice weather, and we still have some people that are traveling. So hopefully here in the next week or so, we'll get our snowbirds back up from the warmer states, and then we'll get everybody back from their individual vacations, and we'll have a great crowd. We have a great crowd this morning, and we do want to say good morning and welcome to you all. We've got several announcements that I'm going to touch on this morning. So if you would, go ahead and turn to your bulletins. The first one that I want to touch on is Easter is just right around the corner. So we've got an Easter egg hunt that will be following our Easter service. So out in the foyer, out on the credenza, there will be some empty Easter egg. If you guys could and would, grab a bag of those Easter eggs, take them home, get some candy, fill them, and then bring them back. If you don't want to do that, just go and get the candy, bring it to me or the office, and we'll make certain that those Easter eggs get filled. I know in past years we have had several kids here for our Easter service. So if we can get lots and lots of Easter eggs, we should have lots and lots of happy kids that day. So that'll be out on the credenza out in the foyer. So grab those up, fill them, or bring some candy, and we'll get those filled as well. This Tuesday evening, the Giggles, that's our ladies' fellowship, will be going to the Ronald McDonald House. If you want to help with that or get any more information on that, see any one of the ladies that are part of the council, and they can get you some more information on that. This weekend, we've got a lot going on this weekend. Our teens will be in their annual spring retreat. If you have a teen and you want a little bit more information on that retreat, see John Brownwood or, of course, Cody Swearingen can get you some info on that. This Saturday, our kids will be going to a district quiz meet up in Springfield at Springfield One Life. They're going to leave the church here at 9:15, so please try to be here before that. That way they can get departed right at 9:15 and get there on time. This next Sunday is a special Sunday. It's a baptism Sunday, and then also it is our fourth Sunday of the month, so that will be our dogs' luncheon. So please bring a food item, preferably pie and deviled eggs, and we will have a good time in fellowship as far as that goes. Yes, also during that luncheon, we will be doing our church assessment survey. We need 29 individuals that will be willing to stay and participate in that. If you're willing to do that, please see Pastor Gary for a little bit more information, and we can get that taken care of next Sunday. Coming up here in a few weeks, the Joplin District will be having their women's retreat. The speaker this year is Susie Schellenberger. That's probably a name that a lot of you have heard. That will be April the 15th. There will be a flyer out on the bulletin board about this. If you ladies are interested, we'll have a little bit more information leading up to this, but there will be some information out on the bulletin board as far as that goes. And then I've got a card up here, or announcement, that says the family of Julie Brooks invites you to drop in at an 80th birthday celebration. It's going to be Saturday, March the 28th, from 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. at the One Life Church of the Nazarene in Springfield. The address for that, if you don't know where it's at, is 3245 South Kansas Avenue. So they're going to be doing a family birthday celebration for Julie Brooks, and she'll be turning 80 this year. So we've got another announcement. If you'll direct your attention to the video screen, please.
Going to bring snow in July for our VBS. So we are going to do Everest, and it looks so cool. I am so excited, and it's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to have a meeting March 29th in a couple weeks at 5 o'clock. If you're interested in it at all, even if you just want to know what's going on, please, 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 please come in. We'll talk about the dates, which right now it's set for the week of July 6th. Times. Positions we need filled, which right now is pretty much everything, because it's brand new. Shirts, all that good kind of stuff, and I'll let you know. But if you've not been one of our VBSs, it's a blast. The kids love it. You will have fun. When is the last time you get to go out and play like a kid and they don't look at you like crazy? You get two for VBS. So come on out and let me know if you have any questions or anything. And, of course, most of all, prayer. We just committed to prayer, and I'll talk to you more about donations and things later, but March 29th at 5 o'clock.
Great.
All right. So keep this bulletin handy. We've got a lot going on this month. And like I said, as the weather gets warmer, we've got a lot more activities going on. Keep this bulletin handy. Check the website for dates and times. But at this time, if you all would stand. Gary wanted me to mention, this Thursday is the senior adult luncheon. When it comes to food, he wants to make certain that announcement gets mentioned. So that's this Thursday for our seniors. But at this time, go ahead and stand. Find someone you haven't had a chance to greet yet this morning.
We're part of a family that's been born again. Part of the family whose love knows no end. For Jesus has saved us and made us his own. Now we're part of
good morning. Don doesn't know this, but I'm going to share a letter that he sent to us this last week that I thought was really exciting. And those of you that are making the Evangel hats, I think you're going to be really encouraged by this. But last July, we had a team that went from the Joplin District to Ecuador, and they took with them a pack for the Jesus film. And they were kind of disappointed because they thought they were going to get to show the Jesus film, but they didn't get to do that. And so here is something, though, very, very encouraging. And if you made Evangel hats that went to Ecuador, or if you have given money in our church or whatever, you guys helped with this. So this is very encouraging. Dear Don and Joplin NMI, you have made a difference. Because of your obedience and faithfulness to Christ, your support became a catalyst God used to change the course of eternity for thousands. While the chart in this short note will show you the numbers, always remember these numbers represent people. People created by God and cherished by Him. Because you funded and facilitated equipment delivery, Jesus Film teams ministering in creative ways have received new tools with which to share God's love. Here's an update so you will know the specific impact you have made in people's lives. I thought this was just really amazing. This has all happened since January with the Jesus film in Ecuador. They have made 11,045 contacts. There have been 2,118 decisions for Christ. And follow-up discipleship is 1,801. And you guys, this happened because you guys shared, and I just think that's totally amazing, and I think we need to hear this kind of thing. You know, we give money, we make hats, whatever, but it's so encouraging to hear something that we really did. Here's a testimony from one of the men in Ecuador. My name is Ronaldo. I am 16 years old. My parents separated when I was young, and I lived with my mother. A few years later, she passed away, and I was sent to live with my aunt. I felt so alone and depressed, but they did not treat me very well. I felt degraded. So many times I felt like crying. I wanted so desperately to be loved and embraced by a mother and father. I felt nobody really loved me, and I wasn't sure what to do. I often thought of committing suicide. A few days ago, I walked to my aunt's house. I was feeling really down because a girl I liked said that she didn't like me back. As I was about to arrive home, I noticed somebody showing a movie about Jesus in the park. I was alone, but I stayed to watch the movie. During the film, a man approached me and spoke to me with love and respect. He sat next to me until the movie ended and then prayed with me to receive Christ as my Savior. We hugged and cried. It was the first time in many years I felt loved and appreciated. He gave me a Bible and invited me to church. For the past 3 Sundays, I've attended this church, and I'm convinced that Jesus loves me. Thank you for your investment. And I want you guys just to think that because of maybe some money you gave or a hat you made, that this man will be in heaven someday.
That's the kind of letters you like to hear, and that's the kind of things you like to talk about and think about, that Jesus is doing some things and reaching some people, and the church is doing some things and helping to reach people. So it's exciting to hear those things. I'd like to have our ushers come at this time to receive our weekly tithes and offerings. Brother Leo, would you come and ask God's blessings on our offering?
Thank you, Jesus.
Father, we thank you for the opportunity to be in my house this morning. Thank you for the peace we have in this country where we can worship and free. Be with the countries that cannot. Be with the lost, Father.
Yes.
Be with the sick. Comfort them. Be with the ones that could not be here today. Give them strength. Thank you for this church. Congregation, let us be a blessing to the community. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen.
Amen.
Lord, I have heard thy voice and it told thy love to me. But I long to rise in the arms of faith and be closer drawn. Nearer, 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 blessed.
We lift you up.
sustainer, deliverer, our comfort and joy. Throughout the ages, you've been our shelter, our peace in the midst of the storm. With signs and wonders, you've shown your power. With precious blood, you showed us your grace.
Good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. It's wonderful to sing praise to our great God and Heavenly Father who loves us and is able to provide whatever is needed for each one of us as we yield our lives to Him. We want to thank you for the ministry that you continue to carry out. I have a note here to our church family. Thank you so much for the beautiful flowers that were sent while I was in the hospital. Also the cards and prayers and Pastor Gary and Don's visiting. As many of you know, surgery is not for sissies. So God is good all the time. Bonnie Burke. So it's great to see Bonnie and Ray here this morning. Appreciate that word of thanks. Appreciate your ministry to these families as they've gone through surgeries and hospital stays and various other things. And so we appreciate those remembrances of this morning. And then just a reminder, as we pray this morning, we need to be praying for the service. This is in your bulletin on Saturday, March 28th, 7 o'clock in the evening. We will host here a zone rally with General Superintendent Dr. Jerry Porter. We'll be speaking. We'll have about 12 different churches that have been invited to be a part of that service with us. And so we're going to need your help. We're going to need ushers and greeters and nursery workers and all kinds of things like that. We're going to bring in some finger foods for fellowship. So there are sign-up sheets out on the Welcome Center that you indeed can sign up to help us with that. And we'll appreciate that so very, very much. And then, as Ben said, I want you to be praying. We have this dog's dinner coming up next Sunday, the baptism service. And part of that dinner is this church health assessment. This is all out of the overflow of revival. It's part of our trying to get an evaluation of the church and what we can do better and what ministries that we can need to add into or maybe change. But it's all about turning the corner and seeing our church move
positively forward. And so we need your input. We need at least 29 of you to fill out those surveys. It takes about 30 minutes after the dog's dinner, and then we'll let you go. Be praying for our small groups. They will start back up next Sunday evening. We'll be here. Everyone will be here tonight. Financial Peace University is over. We'll all be together in the sanctuary. Look forward to a great time. And then we'll begin our small groups again on the following Sunday evening on the 22nd. And we have three groups that are meeting. If you're not a part of a small group right now, but you want to be, please see Brother Ben or myself, and we'll get you connected into a small group to be a part of that group. And then there is always a group that meets here in the sanctuary. So getting back into kind of the regular flow, Easter Sunday is coming. We've got some great things planned for Easter Sunday, great celebrations as we celebrate God and all that He's done in our lives. We celebrate the resurrection. And so looking forward to these great services. Cover those services with prayer. These are not just announcements. These are things that we want to take before the throne room of God, that we have the opportunity to present the gospel to new folks, that we have the opportunity to share the love of Jesus Christ through these ministries and the things that we're trying to do to continue to move the church in a positive direction. Excuse me. I want to remember James and Marie Horn this morning. Now, here's the deal. We need to be about our business because the enemy does not rest. The enemy is always about his business. James has played drums before in church, and James Horn has, for the last 2 weeks, been trying to get ready to integrate himself. We're hoping to move James onto the drums, and Matt has consented to move onto the bass guitar, and so we're hoping to expand the group on the platform here. But for today, James and Marie were in the emergency room this morning with their baby, Addie, and didn't get home until about 5 this morning. So pray for the Horns. They are battling viral infections and pink eye with their kids. And so pray that God will help them, that they'll be able to be back with us. They've been battling that for the last 2 weeks. I know that whatever we do that will elevate Jesus and that will improve what we're trying to do, the enemy's going to try to be against that. And so we're going to pray for the enemy to be defeated, for Jesus to be lifted up, and we're going to see these new things happen and people increase their using of their talents and those kind of things. And so we're going to overcome. And we want to continue to pray for Julie Brooks, who is at home this morning. She was back in the emergency room yesterday, but is home as of yesterday afternoon. We have a big celebration. Ted went in for a biopsy, and they just said he was too mean. They wouldn't take anything from him. No, he got in there, and that mass that they were taking a look at, they said, we don't need to stick any needles in you because that thing has shrunk, and it's not as big. So God's doing a work in Ted's life. That's right. And we thank the Lord for that. And Ted didn't have to have that biopsy, and he's going to just be monitored every 6 months or so on a scan. And so we're thankful for that. That mass is shrinking. Our God is indeed a miracle-working God, and we praise His name. We want to pray for Brother Lawrence. As a matter of fact, when I get ready to pray here in a few moments as we sing together, I'm going to ask some of you men just to kind of gather rather around Brother Lonnie there. He told me this morning as he came in, he's really having some back problems this morning. And I don't know how many of you know the story. We don't have time to tell it all this morning. But if you remember back several years ago, a couple years ago, this is Steve Kravitz's brother-in-law. This is the guy who got mauled by the bull. And so Lonnie and Don have been with us now for the last couple, 3 months. But we want to get on that issue, and we want to pray that God will bring some relief from that pain to Brother Lonnie this morning. So we're going to ask some of you men to gather around him. We're going to pray for him this morning. Then we want to remember George Ann. She flew out to Alabama this week. Her father had a quadruple bypass surgery. That was not planned out. It was unexpected. And so you'll be hearing a little bit more about that later. But indeed, remember George Ann's father and his recovery. The surgery was successful. And indeed, pray for George Ann as she's there ministering to her family. And pray for Scott, who's taking care of the house now without her there. Probably Jennifer's taking care of the house. So at any rate, pray for Jennifer. But remember these families. There are many things that are listed in our bulletin this morning. Thank you for your prayers for my Aunt Alberta, who passed away this past week, and she's now with Jesus. My Uncle Bill is a walking miracle. They have moved him now to another rehab hospital, and he's playing the dobro and singing to the nurses, and him and another preacher, guy that's one of the nurses there, have got together, and I think they're holding church or something. So at any rate, just thank you for your prayers. That's a great testimony to God's power as well. And so whatever it is on your heart or mind this morning, God can handle it. And so we offer you a place at these altars this morning to lay down your burdens, to lift up your praise, whatever it is you need. Let's stand together as we sing. You come, make use of the altars if you have need of them this morning. And then we're going to lift our voices together in prayer. And as you gather, some of you like to gather around Brother Lonnie there. Lonnie, if you need to stay seated, you do whatever you need to do for your back. We're just going to come to you, and we're going to pray for you this morning as well as these others. Heavenly Father, we are indeed grateful to you this morning. We have come into this house because this is your day. We are your people. This is your house. This is all about you, God. It's all about you. Lord, we come giving you praise and thanksgiving because you are the creator and sustainer. As we already sang in this song that we were just saying, we will remember. And Lord, we want to remember all that you are. And all that you have done, and Lord, may it give us belief and faith for all that you're going to do and all that you want to accomplish. And so, Father, we give you praise today. We give you our thanks. We give you our love. We are appreciative. We want to be grateful for everything about you and for all that you have done for us, for every blessing that we have received. But, Lord, we also come admitting that we are not God, that we don't have that kind of power. We don't have that kind of ability. And so, Lord, we yield our lives to you. We thank you for sending Jesus to the cross to save us. Lord, we give you our lives. We have confessed our sin to you and ask you to come into our hearts and to forgive us and to fill us with your Holy Spirit and to sanctify us. And Lord, you have called us into various ministries and paths in life. And Lord, we just want to live out your plan for our lives. And as we come this morning, we acknowledge that you are God. You are the great Jehovah. You are a healer. You are a protector, provider. You are a creator, sustainer. You are all things. Whatever we need, you are that. And so, Lord, we come today and we thank you. We praise you. We love you. We pray for the power of your Holy Spirit to reign upon this place today. Lord, we believe that the enemy would try to defeat us, try to discourage us. We believe that Satan would come against us. We believe that Satan wants to convince people of why they can't come to God or why they don't need God. But Lord, in the name of Jesus today, by the shed blood of Jesus on the cross, by the authority of the Word of God, Satan, we come against you in the name of Jesus. And we ask, oh God, that you would have your will and your way in this service today. We thank you for your provisions, for your protection, for your blessings. We thank you for your touch as the healer upon these ones that we have mentioned already. The words of praise we offer to you in thanksgiving for what you have done and the way you have touched people. And then, Lord, for those that are still in the midst of sickness, we pray that you would touch their infirmities, Lord, that you indeed would give them health and healing, and that you would bring back to us folks that we are missing this morning, not because they didn't want to be here, but because they were physically unable to be here. And so, Lord, we pray that you'd touch them, that you'd break those bonds, that you'd defeat the enemy, and that they would be able to come, and that we would be able to have a full house that would get all of our people back and get over these sicknesses and pass the weather and all those kinds of things, and we'd get people back in together and listening to the voice of God and saying, what is it you want Nixa Church of the Nazarene to do, and what is it you want me to do to be a part of that church and a part of that work? And Lord, we just know that you are all powerful. You can do all things. Lord, we want to just say, here we are. Use us. We yield ourselves to you. God, do whatever you need to do in our lives today. We pray. We give you praise for what you've done for Brother Ted. And Lord, right now we ask that you'd lay your hands on Brother Lonnie and that you would touch him, that you'd just reach out of heaven and put your hand on his back, that you'd relieve that pain. Lord, that you would take away that that suffering, that he'd be able to relax and to enjoy the fellowship of God's people and the fellowship with God himself today in this church service, that you'd continue to touch Bonnie and Donna and these others that have had these surgeries, indeed, that are recovering. We thank you. Maxine came in this morning with stitches gone and braces off, and Lord, we thank you for touching Maxine. Lord, we owe you everything. And Lord, we can't repay it. But you said we didn't have to. And so, Lord, we receive with gladness today your grace and your mercy. Have your will and your way in this service in our hearts and lives. We lay our burdens down. And, Lord, we praise you for who you are. And we say thank you. We love you. Continue to lead us now. And we give you praise in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. I am thankful this morning for a place where I can go and sense the presence of God. Now, I know that feelings and emotions should not be the telltale sign of anything. That indeed is the icing on the cake. We operate by what we know to be the truth in black and white in the Word of God. But I tell you, it's nice to go to a church where you feel God's presence, where you feel God move. And it's not about that in particular, but that's a wonderful blessing and benefit that comes along. And I sense God's presence this morning. I hope that you have sensed God's presence this morning. I want to talk to you for just a few moments about the need to know. The need to know. How many of you have ever heard the phrase, and they use it, I understand, I was not in the military, but I understand they use this in the military a lot, maybe within agencies and enforcements, where you have they tell you something because you have the need to know, and if you don't have the need to know, they don't tell you. And so if there's somebody who doesn't want to tell you something, you know, then they say, well, you're on a need-to-know basis, and you don't need to know. Or maybe if you're not familiar with that kind of military stuff, perhaps you've heard in business, in the business community, you've heard the phrase, it's not what you know, but it's who you know. How many of you think that sometimes in the business community, people aren't necessarily moved according to qualification and work ethic and experience, but indeed because they got the right contacts with the right people in the right place, and they get some breaks along the way? And that's just kind of life. It's how it is. We've learned to live with it. We don't have to like it, but we have to deal with it and honor that sometimes within our society. Well, I want to read to you a passage of Scripture this morning from Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, verses 10 and 11. This is the Apostle Paul who is writing to the church at Philippi, and this is what he says. He says, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. I would like to submit to you this morning that it is my personal belief, and I believe it is scriptural admonition, that everybody needs to know Jesus. Everybody needs to know Jesus. At various times in our ministry, we've had people say to us, well, don't you think that's kind of hard-headed and one-sided to say that Jesus is the only way to get into heaven? Don't you think it's like all other things in life that there are many ways to get to the same place? The truth of the matter is, it wouldn't matter what I said or thought, because the Word of God says, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes unto the Father but by me. So I am convinced that if people want to go to heaven, and even people who say they don't really want to get into religion, and they don't really want to get into all that kind of stuff, that they want to go to heaven. People don't talk about hell too much. Matter of fact, a lot of people say hell's not even a real place. But I know very few people that don't believe heaven's a real place. And almost everybody that believes heaven is a real place, as far as I know, they all want to go there. But they don't want you to tell them there's only one way to get there. But that's what the Bible says to us. The Bible says, Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and life. No man comes to the Father. So, with that in mind, it is my belief this morning
that everybody needs to know Jesus. So if we were in the security business, or if we were in the military, and indeed somebody said to us, okay, you're only going to communicate this truth to the people who need to know. Everybody we meet is in a need-to-know basis. Everybody we come into contact with needs to know Jesus. Now, how many of you have had any challenges in life? How many of you, life did not go exactly the way you planned? How many of you have had to kind of alter some things, or you have to trust your faith in God, or you have to believe in something somewhere to get through some struggles and some rough spots along the way? Well, I'm convinced that life is pretty much that way for everyone, and that's another reason that I'm convinced that people need to know Jesus. I believe people need to have hope. How many of you like having hope? How many of you like thinking there's light at the end of the tunnel? How many of you like thinking there's a better day coming? How many of you want to think that it gets better than this? Well, I'm convinced that the reason for that is Jesus. Jesus is who we need to know. And I believe this morning that there are some things that we could consider that we know that the Bible talks about Jesus that would tell us why Jesus is the person we need to know. The first thing that I would like to suggest to you this morning is that we need to know Jesus because of His miracles. Because of His miracles. In other words, we need the power of God to operate within our lives. Now, I've asked Lyle. He's going to work with Ted there, and Ted's going to get a wireless mic out. And in just a moment, I'm going to ask a couple of people to share a couple of things with you. But let me just talk to you for just a moment this morning that I have found out that indeed within the Scriptures there is a mathematical number that says that counting His own resurrection, that there are indeed 38 miracles recorded in the Word of God that Jesus has done. That's stuff like healing crippled people, making blind people see, giving people the ability to walk, raising people from the dead, casting out demons. I mean, just about every kind of thing that we can run up against, God's already fixed somewhere in history. So if we stop and think about it, wouldn't it be good to have somebody that has a resume? If I was going to fill a position, if I was in a business and I had some positions I wanted to fill, I would want resumes of people who had the qualifications to do the job and who have done it successfully already. I would want those people to fill the slots in my business. And since my life is my business, then I want somebody who can meet the resume of the credentials that I'd like to have. I believe God's got all the credentials of the people I'd like to have fill slots in my life. I believe that the things that I'm up against, the things that I'm facing, that God's power is what I need in my life. But I want you to listen to some things that were spoken in the Scriptures. And I want to turn your attention to the book of Luke this morning in Luke chapter 10, verse 2. And then we're going to jump to verse 19. He told them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into the harvest field." Now, we're talking about people need to know. Everybody's on a need-to-know basis, and everybody needs to know Jesus. The harvest field is out there because everybody's out there. There are people out there who don't know Jesus, so the harvest is there. Well, look over beginning of verse 19 then. It says this, "I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you." Man, that's exciting. We get the power of God in our lives, and there are people in the church that pray for the power of God, and they want the power of God because the power of God then brings attention to them. But that's not what God was talking about here. See, I want you to read the next verse after that. It says, "However, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." The issue is here, the power of God operating in us is not for our benefit in terms of us getting any glory, for us to get any attention. But what God is saying here is, if you'll let my power flow through you as a channel, I can help some folks and do some wonderful things, and I can be glorified. And that's how our lives need to be. Our lives need to be a channel of God's power. We need to not have power in order for people to look at us, but we need to display God's ability so that people are drawn to Him. And if we give credit where credit's due and say it's not about me, but it's indeed about God. Whatever happens here, God's the author. You know, God's the one who's doing it. If there's anything good that's happening in my life, that's God. And indeed, I would like for you to know God in the same way that I know God. Listen, in John chapter 14, verses 12 through 17, it says this, I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. Wow. Anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. And you may ask me for anything in my name and I will do it. If you love me, you'll obey what I command. And I will ask the Father and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever. The Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. Those people who don't know God are spiritually blind. But you know him for he lives with you and will be in you. And when we open our lives to be a channel to contain God in some measure or for God to flow through us, other people become acquainted with God. The harvest is plentiful. Everybody needs to know, and God wants to bring his miracle working power through us into the lives of others so that we indeed will be a channel. And indeed, if you look over at Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20, this is what it says. You've heard me say this in prayer so many times. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. We can be a channel for God's power. We indeed can let people know how God's working. I want you to hear two things that just happened in the last week or so, right out of our congregation. And so, Don, I think you've got a mic there. And so just speak into that mic. That will be on the recording and the people can hear you. And just stand there and testify as you testified to me this morning about God's timing in your life.
Two things you need to know is, one is I'm a CPA, so it's busy season. And the other is that we've had our house on the market since last May. And last week one day I was praying and getting pretty freaked out about timing, and we thought we were going to get an offer, and it was scaring me because I thought we would have to move during tax season, and it was just really scaring me. And suddenly I heard a still small voice that said, my timing is perfect. And so this week we got an offer, a good offer, and we don't have to close until the end of May. The apartment complex that we wanted, when we went last fall to talk to them, there was a waiting list for the pet building that we need a pet building, and they have a unit available, and it's a nice unit. So we have a new place to live. We don't have to move until May, and we have an offer on our house.
Amen. So when we yield our lives to God, that's right, give God the glory. When we yield our lives to God, God is able to work good things in us. Now, I want you to hand that back to Brother Scott. I told you that we were praying this morning for Sister Georgiana and for her dad. I want you to hear just this brief testimony as to what happened this last week in the midst of all this turmoil, getting this word about Georgiana, getting word about her dad. Scott, share with us.
Well, we found out about this Wednesday afternoon that her dad was going to have heart bypass, and it really came about just that day. He went in for to get a stent put in, and they said, you're not a candidate for that. You've got a lot of problems with your arteries, and they just decided that there's going to have to be a bypass. So Thursday morning, I get up to go to work and realize we were going to get her down there, and I didn't think it'd be any big deal. Thursday morning. I got my timing bad. But anyway, went in Thursday morning, thinking I would just get online, get a flight, no big deal. As we started looking for flights, we couldn't find anything. There was just nothing available. Mike was looking for me, and I was looking, and I'm not real good at that, but he was looking pretty hard. And we tried Tulsa, Kansas City, St. Louis, Memphis, and Springfield. Nothing was available. All of a sudden, Mike goes, I got it. Well, he found us one in Springfield. It was the last ticket for the last flight. I don't know if Thursday was a big day for everybody to travel to Mobile or what it was, but Mike said, I got it, and he got it all set up and got it figured out for us. But it was the last flight on the last plane, last available ticket to Mobile on that day. And five airports, counting Springfield. There was just nothing left.
Amen.
And but anyway, just it was a big deal to us, and I just
amen. And it ought to be a big deal. We rejoice with those that rejoice, and so we give God glory and honor today, because as we yield our lives to Him, His power is at work within us. As we surrender to Him, His power flows through us. So we need to know Jesus because of His miracles, not so we look special, not so that we get so much blessing and benefit, but so that God has the opportunity to glorify Himself visibly, so that the people who are around us that need to know, that gives validity to our testimony. It gives us something to have evidence to share. And indeed, then they want to know God so that that same kind of power can operate within their lives. Not only do they need to know Jesus because of His miracles, but they need to know Jesus because of His message. We all need to be followers of Christ, because if we follow what Jesus teaches, life is better. Life is better. Let's take the biggest sermon that we know in the Scripture. It's about three chapters long, Matthew chapter 5 through 7. It's called the Sermon on the Mount. And in the midst of that, in Matthew chapter 7, and the latter part of it in Matthew 7, 12, we find one verse of Scripture that kind of encompasses a good part of it. And it says this: "So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you, for this sums up the law and the prophets." We know it is the golden rule. What it says is, when you go through life, treat other people the way you want to be treated. Don't even think about how they're treating you. Don't think about what's equal. Don't think about what's revenge. Don't think about what's getting even. Don't think about what would make things square up. But indeed, no matter what they do, no matter what they say, Jesus said, "I can help you. I can give you the power to have the ability to just treat other people exactly the way you want them to treat you, irregardless of how they're treating you." That's power, isn't it? Doesn't it fall within our nature? Doesn't it fall within our tendencies to say, if you do this to me, it's what I'm going to do to you? Or maybe something worse. We don't want anybody to get ahead of us. We don't want anybody to have advantage over us. And so we begin to live in that way. But we get in the Sermon on the Mount, and Jesus talked to us about all kinds of things. He talked to us about prayer. He talked to us about fasting. He talks to us about how to... I mean, He starts off the Sermon on the Mount talking about how to be happy. How many of you want to be happy? How many of you want to have hope? How many of you want to feel good about life? And you want to wake up in the morning and not just be an old sourpuss all day long, every day of your life, and mess up everybody else's life as well as your own? Well, if we follow the teaching of Jesus Christ, we make life better for other people. Now, there's no guarantee everybody's going to make life better for you. But the one thing you can guarantee is that with the help of Jesus Christ, by following His Word, you personally can make life better for everyone you meet. And everybody needs to know somebody who can make their life better, don't they? That's one of the best things you can do. My kids have been involved in athletics, and one of the things that we always look for in athletics is somebody who is so good they make everybody else around them better. You know, my son, second son, loves basketball, and so he was pretty good at dribbling the ball, and he's pretty good at passing the ball, and he was pretty good at shooting the ball, but he didn't have to do all those things all the time. He could take any one of those things at a time and do something and get somebody else to do some of those things, and it made everybody better, and when the whole team won, that was really cool. You know, I can remember games where my son was the highest scorer in that game, but they lost. He was not happy, because he wanted to win. And he would have given up points for the team to win if they could have done that as a team ever. And in life, it's not always all about us, but it is about us making life better for everybody around us, about us improving the territory. And if we follow the teaching of the Sermon on the Mount, that's how life is going to be. If we treat others the way we want to be treated, Jesus' message makes Him the kind of person people need to know. Matter of fact, how many of you have heard of things called parables? It's interesting. I read a couple different lines of thought this week. One place lists that there are 35 parables in the Bible. Another authority listed that there are 46. So I suppose it depends on how you define a parable. But this is what I do know: that parables
are stories that Jesus told, and I don't know if in every case they necessarily were an actual historical account of an actual happening, but Jesus told parables which were story illustrations. They were word pictures based on the current culture and within the context of that geographical area to where people could understand stuff. Now, let me give you just a real simple example of how, as a young person growing up, I didn't get this right. Even as a young preacher, I started preaching when I was 13, and for a long time I would read that verse in the Bible that says it's easier for a rich man to go through the eye of the needle, or for a camel to go through the eye of a needle, than for a rich man to enter heaven. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than a rich man to enter heaven. Well, I'm thinking a camel this big, eye of a needle this big. I'm thinking that's not going to happen. But then what I learned later, as I became more informed, as I became more studied, as I was able to get more information, the eye of the needle is a gate in Jerusalem. It's a gate that was short. And for a camel to go through the eye of the needle, it had to get on its knees. Wow, that changes that whole thing right quick. Because it's possible. It's possible for a camel to get down on its knees, carrying its burden, and get it edged through that gate, the eye of the needle, and get it on into Jerusalem. So it's not impossible for that to happen, but it takes some humility. And the truth of the matter is, none of us are going to get to heaven unless we humble ourselves before God. We have to admit that we're sinners. We have to admit that we're not going to make it on our own. We have to admit that we're dependent upon God, that He indeed is the power in our life. But when that happens, good things happen. When we humble ourselves and invite Christ into our life and the power of God begins to operate within us, good things happen. But see, as a kid in America growing up, I thought he was talking about a camel and a needle. And I say, that's not going to happen. So that was kind of depressing. But when I learned the truth that is a picture story, that those people Jesus was speaking to at that point in time in history, they totally understood that. They knew exactly what he was talking about. They knew that it meant they needed to get rid of their pride. They needed to humble themselves and get down on their knees before God, and then they could make it through the passage to get where they wanted to go. Parables are story pictures that make the truth understandable. And Jesus used many parables in his messages. And then the crux of the message, if we look at it, was Jesus declared his teaching, his message was about repentance. If you read in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 17, it says, "From that time on, Jesus began to preach, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near.'" And then if we go over to Mark chapter 1, in verse 15, it says, "The time has come," he said, "the kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news." Well, this word repent means to change your mind. It means to turn away from. It means to be sorry for. And so what Jesus was saying was that we need to come to the place where we are sorry for how we are. And we want to stop being that way. We want to change our mind and be some other way. And the way that we want to be is the way that he's teaching. The very things that he taught require a change of mindset. And what does Jesus say in place? He says that in order for us to be changed, it needs to be a transformation by the renewing of our mind. So we have to change our mind. We have to think differently. We have to quit thinking a defeatist attitude. We have to quit thinking that we're self-sufficient. And we have to start thinking that we need to be totally dependent upon God. And we need to think that others are as important as ourselves. And we need to follow all of these teachings that Jesus taught. And indeed, here's what will happen. When we begin to read, know, and follow the teachings of Christ, then we have all of the information that we will ever need to make right decisions and be successful in life. Now, is that according to the world standard? No, because some of the stuff in Jesus' teaching says, let him that wants to be first be last. Let him that wants to lead serve. That's not what the world teaches. And if you find somebody in the world teaching that principle, they got it out of Scripture. I've heard of businesses that literally tithe on their business because they know that God blesses that and they want their business blessed. But they're not Christian businessmen. They just know that principle works. We need to have the power of God as was displayed in His miracles. We need to have that information that Jesus gives to us through His teaching. We need His message in our life. And most importantly, we need His mercy. The best thing that we can experience in this world is the mercy of God. That He doesn't give us what we deserve. That indeed, He has these miracles. He can do all this physical healing. But more than that, He can heal us spiritually. And that was important to Him. If you look at the Bible, you find in the book of Isaiah, you find prophecy about Jesus before His crucifixion ever took place in the 53rd chapter of Isaiah. Surely He took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows. Yet we considered Him stricken by God, smitten by Him and afflicted. But He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon Him. And by His wounds we are healed. By His wounds we are healed. And so we know that Jesus' death on the cross provided not only for physical healing, but it provided for spiritual healing. It provided for the forgiveness of our sins. Let's face it, when Jesus was here as a point of history, they recorded His conversations, and as they were telling the stories, Jesus said some things that shook up the church. Even then, if you turn to Matthew chapter 9 and you read the first 8 verses, you find this historical account. After we've heard the prophecy, now let's hear the history. Jesus stepped into a boat, crossed over and came to His own town. Some men brought to Him a paralytic lying on a mat. And when Jesus saw their faith, He said to the paralytic, "Take heart, son, your sins are forgiven." Isn't that a crazy thing for Him to say? They bring Him a sick guy who can't walk. And the first thing He says to him is, "Son, your sins are forgiven." That didn't help him walk at all. Those guys brought Him there so He could walk. What's going on here? Jesus said, "Take heart, son, your sins are forgiven." At this, some of the teachers of the law said to themselves, "This fellow is blaspheming." Knowing their thoughts, Jesus said, "Why do you entertain evil thoughts in your hearts? Which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up and walk?" See, Jesus knew what He was going to do the whole time. "But so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," then He said to the paralytic, "Get up and take your mat and go home." And the man got up and went home. When the crowd saw this, they were filled with awe and they praised God who had given such authority to men. So He spoke to him about his spiritual healing, because the truth of the matter is, folks, no matter how crippled we are physically or emotionally, the number one need that we have, if you were to put this as a question on Family Feud, the number one answer needs to be our greatest need is forgiveness. Our greatest need is a Savior. Our greatest need is for Jesus Christ to come into our life and change us. And the opportunity for that to happen certainly exists. And He proved His point historically by saying to these church leaders, "Listen, I have the authority to say to this man, your sins are forgiven." Because which is harder, for me to say your sins are forgiven or to take this crippled man and make him walk? "Oh yeah, by the way, son, your sins are forgiven. You probably ought to rejoice about that. So get up and rejoice and jump. You know, walk around. Have a good time." And what did he do? He got up and walked. So then what are the people who are around going to say? Say, "Hey, well, if he can make him walk, he can forgive his sins. Works for me." And He has the power to heal us spiritually as well as physically. Listen to what is said by the writer of the Hebrews. In Hebrews chapter 9, verses 11 through 14, "When Christ came as a high priest of the good things that are already here, He went through the greater and more perfect tabernacle that is not man-made. That is to say, not a part of this creation. He did not enter by means of the blood of goats and calves, but He entered the most holy place once for all by His own blood, having obtained eternal redemption. The blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a heifer sprinkled on those who are ceremonially unclean sanctify them so that they are outwardly clean. How much more then will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself unblemished to God, cleanse our consciences from acts that lead to death so that we may serve the living God?" And then in chapter 10 and verse 10, it says,
And by that will, we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And then over in Hebrews 13, 12, we're reminded of that passage of Scripture that defines why Jesus actually went to the cross for us. And it wasn't just to forgive us. It says, indeed, so Jesus in the 12th verse, and so Jesus also suffered outside the city gate to make the people holy through his own blood. Jesus died to do a complete work for us. Not only to forgive our sins, but to give us power to overcome the power of sin in our life. To live victoriously. We have been given grace. Something we could not do for ourselves, God did for us in His Son Jesus Christ. He has the ability to forgive our sins. That's why Jesus died. But we need to confess our sins. Let me wrap this thing up this morning by reminding you that in the 18th chapter of the book of Matthew, there is a story that talks about the grace of the Master and a man who owed a large, large debt, about $20 million, and indeed was gone out after he was forgiven that debt, not just given an extension of the debt, but was forgiven the debt. In other words, the debt was no longer owed. The equivalent of $20 million. Same guy went out, choked a guy and threw him in debtor's prison over 20 bucks. He didn't get it, did he? He didn't understand that he'd been forgiven. He's still trying to find money to pay his debt. And this is what the master said to him in Matthew chapter 18, verses 32 and 33. Then the master called the servant in. "You wicked servant," he said, "I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you?" And we find in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 13 that it says, "Forgive as the Lord forgave you." And in Matthew 10:37 it says, "Freely you have received, freely give." The same power of God that does miracles is the power that allows us to give grace. The same teaching that gives us all the information we need for life and living helps us to know how to live forever. Eternal life with Jesus Christ. Jan, I want you to come and play for us this morning. I want us to get our hymn books and sing that old song, number 335, that says, "His Way with Thee." Folks, I want you to understand that everybody needs to know Jesus. Everybody's on a need-to-know basis. But the only way some of them will know is to see Him through us. And I want you to know that that Jesus, the same one who did those miracles, wants to live in your life. The same one who taught those messages. His miracles, His power, His message, His teaching, His mercy, His unconditional love is all available to you and can be passed through you for others to see it and receive it as well. Would you stand with me this morning? Janet, lead us in this song. Let's sing a couple of verses. The altars are open this morning. If you're here, first of all, if you're here and you've never asked Jesus into your heart and life, this will be a great day to say, "I need to know Jesus." And we invite you to come. We'll be glad to introduce you to Christ and help you ask Him into your heart and life. If you're here this morning and you've kind of drifted away from your relationship and you just kind of need to tweak the thing and bring it up to date, I invite you to come and kneel in an altar of prayer and say, "Lord, I want to be up to date. I want to be right with You." And maybe you're here this morning and you've just kind of passively been enjoying all the blessings of God, but you've not been extending them to anybody else. You've not been inviting anybody to church. You've not been talking to them about their soul condition. May this be a morning where we would say, "Lord, help me to know how to share with the people who need to know You." So whatever it is this morning, if you need a place of prayer, you come. Lead us, Janet, as we sing.
Would you live for Jesus and be always pure and good? Would you walk with Him within the narrow road? Would you have Him bear your burden, carry all your load? Let Him have His way.
Place of prayer, feel free to come this morning. God is welcome with open arms.
His blood can cleanse your heart and make you free. His love can fill your soul and you will see. 'Twas best for Him to have His way with thee.
Janet, sing one more verse and one more chorus. There's someone that needs to pray this morning. You feel free to come. We'll take time to pray with you.
Would you know His peace that comes by giving all? Would you have Him save you so that you need never fall? Let Him have His way with you.
thank you so much for your time and your attention this morning. Let us remember there's a harvest field out there. There are people who need to know Jesus. We have the blessing and benefit of knowing Him already. Let's not keep Him to ourselves, but let's take every opportunity to share Him with those that we come in contact with. I believe God would like to fill the pews of this church. I believe He would love to have people who want to praise Him and to learn from Him to come and to fill this place. And so let's just do our best to continue to share His love and His message with whomever we have opportunity to do so with as we go about life's journey this morning. But ask Cody, if you will, to pray a closing prayer for us.